Well, thank you, Sophia, for being here today and that wonderful violin music. And thank you, Karen, for leading the service today and the ushers and everyone else who gets church ready in the morning and during the week. And I hope that many, if not all of you, will come over across the way to the parish house and have some refreshments and coffee or tea. And that'll be right after the service. So, we've all heard of what Sabbath is. It has a very rich and ancient history. It has connections, of course, to Judaism and to Christianity, and into a different way with Islam. Well, it turns out that last year, and I did not remember this because my memory during COVID has gone last year in December, we did a Zoom service on Sabbath. At that time, I used Wayne Muller's text from his book I mentioned earlier. This is what he wrote. He said, "Remember the Sabbath means remember to delight and have joy in your life, in the fruits of your labor. Remember to stop and give thanks for the wonder of it." To be able to pay attention to all that is delightful and joyful in our lives. And you may remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about joy as being a deep abiding that is always with us. And Sabbath doesn't have to be a whole day. It doesn't have to be a religious-based day, as many religious traditions do. Here's an example, and I'm going to do several examples in the course of this homily. Here's an example of Sabbath time that wasn't a whole day, but it felt timeless. Many of you know that I was in a severe hit-and-run car accident where I was the one receiving the hit. On Christmas Eve 2003. My recovery was very slow. I was in the hospital for a month. I was bedbound for a month. And then able to get into a wheelchair and learn how to get around the place where I was staying. And it was refreshing, but I'd really not been outside for nearly 3 months, except to go to the doctor in the hospital. I still remember one day in the late winter. Now, this is the Seattle area. It's gloomy and dark for about 5 months. I looked out the window, and I was in bed, and the pins and other things in my legs were still all there. It was quite exciting. But I saw traces of blue sky, and I thought, wow, maybe the sun will come out. Everybody says that in Seattle. So I was hungering for the sun. And built a small ramp so I could get outside. I managed to open a door and push myself down the ramp carefully. I stopped for a moment and I breathed in the cool, fresh air that was filled with a scent of cedar trees and Douglas fir. And I was just in the right spot when the sun came out. And I felt sunlight for the first time, what felt like ages. I sat in the wheelchair and simply bathed in the light and aromas of late winter. I probably sat there for 20 minutes, but it felt like forever. And it's one of those memories that I carry every single day. That was Sabbath time for me, remembering that to be alive is a to feel the joy of my senses taking the world into my heart. A second type of Sabbath time was not one any of us predicted. It was an enforced one, and I've called it the pandemic Sabbath. Many of us were isolated at home. Many others weren't. They had to work in construction and service and the medical fields and so on. And they did not get, and they still do not have, a pandemic Sabbath. But for those who did, the isolation of the house, the yard, working from home, all contributed to a type of restless rest. I couldn't describe it any other way than that. Now, some of us did house repairs or renovations. Others binge-watched years of Netflix programs. And many people who were isolated and got lonely got pets to keep them company. But in particular, from what I heard and experienced myself, nature became an essential balm for those who were lonely, and walks alone, usually, were very popular in this area. Wayne Muller writes in the opening words, "Like a path through the forest, Sabbath creates a marker for ourselves, so that if we are lost, we can find our way back to our center." Let's just take a moment, and I'd ask you just to reflect on what Sabbath time, rest time, during the last year and a half, or just during our lives, how that time of rest and appreciation has been a delight or a joy. Just for a moment. The theme so far in these two first explanations or examples of Sabbath time involved nature. I went out in my wheelchair and I sat and I took in the aromas of winter and the sun. And then the second, during COVID, many of us have gone out for walks or just been in our backyards appreciating the natural world. Fully experiencing nature became a time of renewal and connection and relationship. And one of the reasons I use the word spirituality is because I believe it is ultimately, fundamentally, relationship. So here's the final part, or type of Sabbath time, that connects to the connection of nature and being fully present and aware. I've mentioned several times before today a Japanese spiritual practice called Shinrin Yoku, and that's Shinrin Yoku. And this is probably one of the best books out on it. The two best translations of Shinrin Yoku are forest therapy or forest bathing. And when I first heard that term, and I was thinking forest bathing, okay, you go out in the middle of the forest, you strip down, you get into a pond, and you bathe. I thought, okay, that's what it's about. No, it's much more profound than that. It's a practice that goes back many generations. Its most modern version is making the forest a focus for all six senses. And I said six, not five, and I'll refer to that in a moment. Joshua Seal White last Sunday spoke eloquently about this sanctuary as refuge. The founder of Western Shinrin Yoku, Amos Clifford, who wrote in his book, Your Guide to Forest Bathing, Experience the Healing Power of Nature, he speaks about the forest and nature in general being a sanctuary and a place of refuge when it all becomes too much for us, like the pandemic has. It tells us that we can experience the forest as refuge and sacred space, just like this space here. Shinrin Yoku embodies all the senses to take everything in that we see, hear, smell, touch, even taste, and mind. In Buddhist teachings, the mind is the sixth sense. When we stop in a forest, we take it in, all of it. So I'm going to describe a Shinrin Yoku practice that my partner in Oregon, my partner Deborah, shared with me about 2 years ago when she started doing this practice. She's taken the initial certification course to be a Shinrin Yoku guide, and I'm going to also take it next year if possible. So I was in Oregon last month to visit for the first time since Christmas of 2019. We, as we always do when I come to visit, went to the ocean to experience the practice of forest bathing. There's a trail that Deborah knows about. It's right off Route 101, which is the main highway down the Oregon coast. And it is called the Hobbit Trail. And it is about half a mile between the roadway and the beach. And it's about a 200 or 300 foot drop going down and back coming up. Deborah asked me at the start to focus on movements, any and all movements in the forest, while she went ahead to the beach. She knows that I tend to move quickly. I like to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible and don't get in my way. That was not what I was supposed to do. She said, walk very slowly, stop, and pay attention to every movement around me in the forest. Now, any of you who've been to the Pacific Northwest will know that the coast in Oregon and Washington State is usually rather grim this time of year. But it was a beautiful sunny day, not a cloud in the sky, and even more amazingly, no wind to speak of, just a breeze. And usually the wind is blowing sideways at 40 miles an hour on the coast, so this was a real blessing. I walked very slowly, and I stopped frequently. I listened and watched the rustle of the leaves, and there were almost no movements except spider webs. So I watched the spider webs dancing in the breeze. And another movement I remember was a small leaf on a branch that was twirling around and somehow not falling off. No birds moved. A few insects crossed my path. And I finally got to the beach about 45 minutes after I started the walk. Normally, I would cover that distance in 10 minutes. Deborah had set up a small shrine so we could sit by it, drink tea, and share our experiences. Now, I will say one somewhat personal comment here, that one of the very best practices, or one of the best parts of that day and that practice, was when Deborah came over when I got to the beach and gave me a big hug. That meant the world to me. And I think it's because she knew I had slowed down and paid attention. So I shared what I'd experienced during that 45 minutes. Leaves, breeze, spider webs. And she shared what she had seen and heard during that time. As we shared over tea, the world continued to move around us. The waves came in, the sand was blowing across the beach very lightly, and a single seagull flew by, squawking, wanting food. It was heavenly. Everything came to a stop. We paid attention to everything around us. And that is what forest bathing or forest therapy is all about. Last Sunday, Joshua also spoke about this church's vision. And as some of you know, we're doing a major project, the board and I and others, on what is the envisioning process for this church as you come to your 200th anniversary and beyond. Not just for people in here, but more importantly, people out there. So, being a person who is deeply interested in Buddhist teachings and in meditation practice, I wondered, wouldn't it be interesting if the practice of Shinrin Yoku became one of the programs that the church offers on a regular basis? Because Shinrin Yoku is one of those practices where you go out as a group into the forest, and you either go separately or together, and oftentimes just sit, and take everything in, the sights, the sounds, everything. Imagine if that was Sabbath time. Imagine if we could offer programs for people in this area to do a practice like that, together or solely alone. So I'm going to end, but I'd like you to think about what are the ways we, you, us, the people who come after us, that we create Sabbath time. How can this church offer ways for people to immerse ourselves into the present moment of delight and joy of Sabbath? And as I end, I think of one particular example, your violin music this morning. And I happen to love violin. And so it was not only soothing, but just reaching in and immersing myself in the music. And that, for me, was a moment of Sabbath time. So let's take a few moments of quiet to reflect on, what is Sabbath time for you? Is it nature? Is it taking care of a pet, or just sitting with someone you love, quietly, silently, taking it all in?